The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you know, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Luke tells us that once, after Jesus had finished praying in a certain place, one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus began to say to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. What Jesus taught his disciples that day has come to be known as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. It is a prayer that you can pray with boldness and confidence because you know it's a prayer that is acceptable, indeed is pleasing to God. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are praying God's very own words back to him. In this prayer, he gives you the privilege of partnering with him, as it were. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When you pray these words, you are involved in the Father's business. You are praying that his plans and purpose be completed, and that you have a place in them according to his will. The Lord's Prayer, then, is more than just a sample prayer. It isn't just an example of how to get your creative praying juices flowing. It is a prayer that Jesus invites you to use. Indeed, words Jesus invites you to join with him in praying. There's at least a suggestion of this in the grammatical forms he uses in the prayer. It's not, my Father, give me this day, forgive me, lead me not, but deliver me. No, he doesn't just teach you to pray by yourself, only for yourself. He says, pray our Father. Give us this day. Forgive us. Lead us not, but deliver us. Clearly using his words, you pray not by and for yourself alone, but with and for others as well. And the fact that you are praying with Jesus as you pray the Lord's Prayer becomes clear in today's gospel reading. What was read earlier is just the opening part of what is commonly known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's a prayer that he prayed after he had instituted the supper, and following the deep and profound words he had spoken to his disciples in order to prepare them for what was about to happen: his arrest, their abandoning him in fear, and his death by crucifixion. He had taught them everything he could that night, even more than they could observe at that point. And now he communes with his Father in prayer, praying for himself and for his disciples and for all who would come to believe in him through their testimony. This prayer of our Lord, his high priestly prayer, is an amazing prayer. It opens a window for us into Jesus' relationship with his Father and the mystery of the Holy Trinity. It reveals the things that were most important to Jesus as the hour of his sacrifice on the cross drew near. And it gives us insight into Jesus' own praying. Jesus began, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." When Jesus says, "Pray, our Father," he's giving you and me permission. Indeed, more than that, is inviting us to address the Almighty God who created all things in exactly the same way that he does. This is something that no sinner would ever have the right to do. Apart from Jesus' invitation, you'd have to be a fool to address the Holy God in such a forward and audacious way as this. Sin is rebellion against God. Even a single sin, just one, has earned you God's eternal wrath. But Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, with whom he is well pleased, invites you to address God in the same way he does, to call him Father, to come to him as a little child comes with expectant trust to ask his daddy. And what does Jesus say to his Father? "The hour has come. Glorify your Son." The hour of which Jesus speaks is the hour of fulfillment, the hour in which Jesus was to accomplish his mission, the hour in which he would win eternal life for the world. In short, the hour of his death. And this is how Jesus is glorified, by giving his life to take away the sins of the world. By this work, by his innocent suffering and death, Jesus will also glorify the Father. Because by his crucifixion, Jesus will bring glory in revealing God as a gracious and merciful God, even as he is at the same time righteous and just. It's the work Jesus would accomplish on the cross concerning which the company of heaven will sing throughout all eternity, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who was slain and by his blood ransomed people for God and made them a kingdom and priests to God. The name that is above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, is Jesus. And Jesus means God saves. God saved through the innocent death of his Son, his only Son, whom he loved. Jesus is glorified and brings glory to his Father as he lays down his life as the Lamb of God in order to take away the sin of the world. In praying that the Father would glorify him, would bring him now to the cross where he would fulfill his mission, in praying this, Jesus was praying for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done. For God's will is that all people be saved, that they come to the knowledge of the truth, and that they have eternal life. Jesus himself, as we heard last week, is the way and the truth and the life. All who know Jesus Christ, sent by the Father and crucified for their sins, will live even though they die. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And God's kingdom comes when Jesus ascends the cross. From the cross as his throne, Jesus draws all people to himself, calling them out of the darkness of their sin into his marvelous light. For it's by his cross that Jesus gathered for himself a people and made them a kingdom and priests to God. Once they were not a people, but now they are God's people. Once they had not received mercy, but now, because of Jesus' innocent suffering and death, now you, have received mercy. In this prayer, Jesus also prays that God's name would be hallowed. Now, not in those precise words, but recall how Martin Luther answered the question, how is God's name kept holy? Luther began, God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. What is it Jesus prays? Father, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. That is, they have treasured and guarded your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. Thus Jesus is praying that the Father's name would be hallowed among the believers as they hear and believe his word, and that they would be preserved in the truth of that word. That is, that they would continue to hallow his name. Later on in his high priestly prayer, Jesus makes it explicit that he is praying for you and for me. He says, I do not ask for these only, that is, the apostles who were there with him at that time. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us. It is a wonderful treasure to know that Jesus is your mediator, ever interceding with his Father on your behalf. Indeed, the author of Hebrews records, he always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him. But your Savior doesn't only pray for you. He also prays with you, prays that God's name would be hallowed by you, that his kingdom would come to you, and that his will would be done for you. Rejoice then that Jesus invites you to be involved in his Father's business, to pray for the hallowing of his name, the coming of his kingdom, and the doing of his good and gracious will for the world's salvation. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus invites you to pray with him for your own good, for the good of fellow Christians, and for the good of your friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers who do not yet know and believe in God's love for them in their crucified Savior. God loves you. He has saved you. You are his. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.